God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today certainly is an exciting and special day as we have the church colors changed to red as we celebrate a minor festival, that of Confirmation. And today as we see the confirmands dressed in white, their banners on the wall, in case if you didn't notice, they're right there with your names on it. We celebrate this day as we have five young people to make their confession, saying that this is now their faith. Also in connection with this day, we also have our baptismal banners, the shell of holy baptism with the water, God connecting His holy word to water to create that faith within us so that we are now believers and members of His family. As the other banner says, you are no longer strangers, but members of God's family. Through baptism, that now takes place. What confirmation is a renewal of those baptismal vows. When they were baptized, they were younger. They hadn't been taught the Luther's Small Catechism. They hadn't been taught what the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Sacrament of the Altar, the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, the Ten Commandments. They hadn't been taught Law and Gospel. But now, after enduring my classes for 2 years, suffering through those evening classes, they now know. And now are ready to say, this is my faith. Well, we're going to do something a little interesting with this message, because today is confirmation. I'm deviating from the 3-year lectionary because we are committed to go through the Gospel of St. Luke. And today's Lucan passage I'm going to tie to confirmation. Did you pick up the concept of the broiled fish? Now you're going to have me sit there and say, confirmation is like broiled fish. No, it's not. Trust me. But what about the broiled fish? What is so important about broiled fish? You're about ready to maintain this is your faith, and why would your pastor want to talk about broiled fish? Is this a fishy story? No. But the gospel truth. So here's the challenge. Where is the gospel in the broiled fish? Don't worry, your answer is, that's why we're here, Pastor, to learn God's word. Teach us. Because confirmation is not an end. It's not a time of saying, you now know it all, no longer coming to God's house anymore. Don't worry, ask your parents afterwards, did they know what's so important about the broiled fish? They'll probably also say, no, unless they heard the sermon earlier. So now let me tell you what's so important about the broiled fish. First of all, we have to set the scene of what's taking place during this text. This was after our Lord and Savior's death and after His resurrection. After He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were running back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples, we had seen the risen Lord. And while they're exchanging accounts here, Jesus all of a sudden appears before them. And their first reaction is, it's a ghost, it's a spirit. And Jesus wants to quickly correct some bad thinking here. It was not a ghost. It was not a spirit. You see, sometimes we think that way is because that's something we understand. We understand the concepts of ghosts and spirits. We see them on TV, but I have to ask you, even my confirmands, have you ever seen a ghost or a spirit? Live, in person. I will admit, I haven't seen one either. At least if I've seen one, I don't know that I've seen one. But one of our thinkings in this line of thought is that a spirit and a ghost you can't shake hands with. A spirit and a ghost cannot eat. And Jesus wanted to very clearly set the scene. He is not some spirit or some ghost. Because way back in the beginning, before the world was created, there was God. God is eternal. We learned that in confirmation class, right? Has no beginning, no end. And that eternal God created the heavens and the earth. He created all humanity, and humanity had sinned, had broken God's rules, God's regulations, has disobeyed God, fell away from God, and God now has to buy back, so to speak, what was once His. Once was broken, God now has to fix. And God's plan of salvation, plain and simple, was this. God was going to take on flesh and blood, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas time. But once God takes on that flesh and blood, He doesn't separate Himself. So we say Jesus is true man and true God. So one of the questions I did ask during confirmation class was, when Jesus went to the cross, and died on the cross, did God die? This is a tough concept. Because the answer is, yes, God did die. You see, you cannot separate the two natures of Jesus Christ. Once they're together, true man, true God, you're not going to be able to pull them apart. God even has another interesting way of describing this in marriage. What God has put together, let man not separate. The same also goes true with the two natures of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What God has put together, God taking on that flesh and blood, man cannot separate. There are some people who do believe in the separation of Jesus Christ. They have it wrong. They'll say that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and one of his seven last words was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," they think that Jesus got divided at that point. His divinity went up to heaven, but his humanity stayed on the cross and died. And if that was true, which it isn't, if that was true, when the women went to the tomb, they would have seen the body of Jesus and then would have seen the spirit of Jesus alive. But guess what? When they went to the tomb, there was no body of Jesus, because you cannot separate the two natures of Christ. So how can God die? I don't know if you remember my answer to that also. I don't know. I believe this by faith. This is what Scripture teaches. This is what was taught. This is what we believe. But we may say, "But Pastor, that's a really hard concept to understand. How can God die?" And the answer is, I don't know. I just believe it. You see, we cannot prove God in a laboratory. In our confirmation instruction, I never brought any test tubes or any chemicals and poured them together and see, this is what happens when you do this and do that, because Christianity isn't that way. I don't sit there and prove Christianity to the kids. I open up God's Word and tell them what God has done for them. Likewise, how do we believe this? This is incomprehensible to our line of thought, to our reasoning, to our thinking. We believe it by faith. And how do we acquire that faith? God gives us that faith. So do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, true man and true God? The disciples afterwards, now seeing the resurrected Jesus, Jesus wanting to shake their hands, Jesus saying, "Touch me, see, I'm not a spirit, but I'm flesh and blood, I have bones." Jesus even going so far and saying, "Do you have anything to eat?" I kind of feel sorry for Jesus at this point. Because, you know, when that question was asked, you can just sort of picture the disciples going, "Oh no, what do I have? What do I got in my pocket here? I got my keys, I got my cell phone. Oh, I got a piece of fish, broiled fish." And we're thinking, you know where that broiled fish has been? But it's still food. The Almighty, the all-powerful God, who out of thin air could say, "Let's get a T-bone steak. Let's get a Coke, some fries with this, you know. Let's have a good meal," said, "No, I'll eat that broiled fish." Why? Because A, it's yours. You knew where that fish came from. And B, I need to show to you. I need you to be 100% assured that I am true man and true God and I am alive. So God uses this broiled fish to give you assurance of your faith that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Sounds like a fishy story to me, but is the gospel truth? Remember, our faith is not something that science is going to replicate in the laboratory, but the Holy Spirit gives to us, and we believe it. It's beyond our imagination to even comprehend how God can die, how God can rise from the dead. And why is this important? The Luther question. What does this mean? What does this mean to me right now? Well, I have to ask you. How many times in your lives have you ever been down and out? How many times in your life have you ever seen, wow, there's too much going on? How many times in your life has doubt ever crept in? And saying, you know what Pastor's saying, is that really true? Is it really that important to have a piece of broiled fish on hand? The answer is yes. But so many times that human nature within us comes up and creates those doubts. The sin, the weight of sin around us puts a burden upon us. And we sit there and say, "Lord, where are you?" And we remember Christ's very words, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Do you believe that? Or do you think of the God that we worship as a God who is just sitting up there at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, who is just thinking of us? How can God hear all those prayers at one time? How can God be concerned about the number of hairs I have on my head? Does God really care what's going on in my life right here, right now? Is God always with me? Again, this is part of the whole incomprehensible nature of God. Not that I can explain by scientific proof, but through the Holy Spirit gives me this faith in my heart. And I believe because God said it. So the next time we feel a little down and out, the next time we feel sort of like at the end of our wits, the next time we think that, where is God in the midst of my pain and misery? The next time we forget to study for a test and we're going, Lord, have mercy, give me, help me get an A on this test. Let us remember that God is with us. He is with us always because of the power of His Word. This is what He says. Is it beyond our imagination? You better believe it's beyond our imagination. Is it beyond our imagination that a piece of broiled fish could be a proof text to show us the true humanity and divinity of the risen Christ? The answer is, it is. We sit there and say, wow, what a wonderful God we have. But God knows that we need that extra strength daily in our lives. Martin Luther reminds us that's why we need to remember why we were baptized. Every day we need to wake up and we have to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this faith. Lord, nourish me with your word. And then also another way that God nourishes us besides with his word. When we come to the Lord's Supper, and this will be your first time to come to the Lord's Supper, instead of having me put my hand upon you and boinging you in the head and giving you a blessing, guess what? I'm going to hand you a piece of bread, a wafer, and say, this is the body of Christ. You're going to look at this wafer and say, Pastor, you've got to be kidding. How can that round circular thing be the body of Christ? But this is what God's Word teaches. Again, I can't prove it. I can't dissect the wafer. I can't sit there and say, well, let's do an experiment and look for flesh in there. But Christ says, here is my body, as he is holding a piece of bread. Do you believe that? The cup will come by with the wine. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you believe that? Again, I can't prove it. It sounds like some sort of grand fisherman's tale, some fishy story. But this is what God's Word says. This is what we believe. And through the Holy Spirit that was given to you at baptism, through our instruction, you've been taught this Word. Now do you believe it? You'll receive this bread and wine for the strengthening of your faith. Because there are going to be times in your life where you might start doubting some of the things that God's Word says. Yes. Are there going to be times in your life where things are not going well and you're thinking, God, where are you? Are there going to be times in your life where you're saying, Lord, I just need your strength? And in those times, remember the broiled fish. If God cares that much about his disciples and about us knowing all the attributes about him, that he's true man and true God, that yes, he did die, he did rise again. He is so concerned for us, he wants us to be 100% absolutely assured. He wants us to get rid of that doubt. And if we can use the concept of broiled fish to remind us that, yes, His Word is true. He is our Savior. He has paid the price for our sin. We now have the gift of eternal life. Then let's use that broiled fish to remind us what God has done for us. Believe me, the next time you have fish at home, let's see if you remember this. I'm going, oh yeah, confirmation sermon, broiled fish. Yes, Jesus did this. That's why he's true man, true God, risen from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, a reminder of our salvation. Because with confirmation comes the bold confession of faith. The vows that were once made during baptism for them, they are now saying, these are now my vows. This is now what I believe. They are now responsible for their faith. Just out of curiosity, if any of you have been sponsors for these five young people, can you just raise your hand for right now? Do I have any sponsors here? I have one, two, three. Great. Because this is a special day for you. You're now released of your duties. Because as sponsors, you said you were going to pray for these people. You were going to encourage them in the faith. Make sure they receive Christian instruction. And when they say, this is now my faith, reciting the words of the Apostles' Creed, as they give a pledge and token of their love and commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you better feel that great burden lifting off of you, going, yes, I have fulfilled my vow. They made it. But I also know what goes on in the hearts and minds of junior hires and high schoolers. They still need your prayers. They still need to continue to grow in this faith. This isn't a graduation ceremony saying you knew it all, because you didn't know where I was going to go with this broiled fish analogy. And ask your parents. See if they're honest. See if they tell you they knew where the meaning of that broiled fish there. This is not a graduation, but a beginning of a new life, a new journey in saying, this is now my faith. You now take the responsibility to see that you get here to church, to hear God's word, to grow in that faith. You now take the responsibility to make sure that you are strengthened in this faith through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. You now take this responsibility that says, I'm going to share the various gifts that God has given me with the community of believers because I'm willing to die for this faith. Because I believe this faith with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I am 100% sure that because He lives, I will live also. That nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. So the next time some doubt enters your mind, the next time you feel alone or you feel like the world is coming to end, hang on to God's holy word. Come back to the Lord's table. Be strengthened in that faith. Be assured that because He lives, you will live also. Find yourself also in Luke chapter 24 and remember that fishy tale of the broiled fish. There's more to it than just Christ filling his stomach. Proof in the resurrection of the dead that we will be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. So on this day, as we celebrate the confirmation of five young people, we ask the Lord to instill in us that same faith, to cause our faith to grow in Him a little bit more and me a little bit more, so that we also can have with that same boldness and assurance that, yes, He lives, I also will live. We ask the Lord to be with them as their journey now begins, a new stage. And we ask the Lord to be with us, to strengthen us always. He says He is with us always. Now we believe it. We hang on to that faith, and we go with that faith and grow with that faith. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.